As has been mentioned a couple of times this morning, we are looking at the story of Zacchaeus, because it's a story that I think helps challenge us in many different ways. And I want to get to that by asking the question, why can't Zacchaeus see Jesus? Wow, we'll see. So the story is told in Luke's Gospel, chapter 19. Jesus entered Jericho and was passing through it. A man was there named Zacchaeus. So what do we know about Zacchaeus? Firstly, we know his name. There many people turn up in the Gospel stories and we don't know their names. So Zacchaeus must have been well known for that name to be recorded. Certainly, he would be well known in his time, but I think he might also have been well known within the church who heard the stories of Jesus because of his response to Jesus. So there was a man named Zacchaeus. He was a chief tax collector and was rich. So this is in a world in which there are not many rich people. And so one of the reasons he was well known was that he was rich. But in particular, he was rich because he was a chief tax collector. So even among tax collectors, he was a significant figure. And this was in Jericho. Jericho happens to be one of the places I was in when I was in my trip to Israel, but I thought I would just slip that in. Wasn't that true? Yeah, indeed. Yes, all right. There's a few of us have been traveling. But Jericho is one of the reasons it was important, was because King Herod had his winter palace there in Jericho, so there was a big thing. So if you were the chief tax collector in the place where the king turned up fairly regularly, you had to be an important person. So this Zacchaeus was trying to see who Jesus was, but on account of the crowd, he could not. So it was because of the crowd that he could not get to Jesus, because he was short in stature. So he ran ahead and climbed a sycamore tree to see him, because Jesus was going to pass that way. When Jesus came to the place, he looked up and said to him, "Zacchaeus, hurry and come down, for I must stay at your house today." So he hurried down and was happy to welcome him. All who saw it began to grumble and said, "He has gone to be the guest of one who is a sinner." Zacchaeus stood there and said to the Lord, "Lord, half of my possessions, Lord, I will give to the poor. And if I have defrauded anyone of anything, I will pay back four times as much." Then Jesus said to him, "Today salvation has come to this house, because he too is a son of Abraham. For the Son of Man came to seek out and save the lost." Now, Zacchaeus, that's what I forgot, the clicker. So if you could click me on, thank you. It was an early morning. And if that's the only thing I've forgotten, I'll be doing okay. So Zacchaeus was rich, and with wealth comes power. And with power comes significance. So Zacchaeus was a man of significance in Jericho. And in the first century culture, it's certainly true that if you had wealth and power and honor that comes from that, then you had to be respected by the people around you. And yet it's clear here in this story that the crowd did not respect Zacchaeus, because they would not make way for him. Now, if someone famous or important was to come into our crowded space, we would make way for them because they're important, they move to the front. Zacchaeus could afford an exclusive all-access VIP pass to Jesus. But the crowd would not let him get to Jesus. And so Zacchaeus does something that is fairly desperate. If you are a senior person, you don't go trying to climb trees. I'm past my tree climbing age. Not only is it difficult to get up, but it becomes extremely difficult to get down. And the idea that Zacchaeus would climb a tree means that he is abandoning his claim to honor and respect and making himself a public spectacle. Again, dragging down his status. I mean, what a terrible person Zacchaeus is, and doesn't he go and prove it by acting like he's a child? But when Jesus sees him, Jesus calls him by name, and Jesus invites himself to Zacchaeus' house. So what we see here is that the crowd considered Zacchaeus to be a sinner, someone outside of the limits of God's care and compassion. And Jesus considered Zacchaeus to be lost, someone that was very much the focus of God's compassion. And what we have in this story is that kind of wrestling with is Zacchaeus someone that God will love, or is Zacchaeus someone that is excluded from God's love? And the role of the crowd in kind of determining or trying to determine what that looks like. So if we move to the next slide, thanks. So Jesus is surrounded by a crowd. Why is Jesus surrounded by a crowd? Because Jesus is already a very famous prophet, perhaps even the Messiah of Israel, and everybody wants a piece of him. Everybody wants near to him because he has access to God that we don't have. And in his access to God, he is able to bring healings, he is able to bring exorcisms, and also bring the truth of what God is doing in our world, and people want to get close to that. And in trying to get close to that, there's a sense that if you can get close enough to Jesus, perhaps you will be the beneficiary of something of his miraculous work, or perhaps you will hear one of his teachings that will give you an entry into the kingdom of heaven. But, thanks, Zac couldn't see Jesus on account of the crowd. The crowd who tried to, when Jesus saw Zacchaeus and invited himself to Zacchaeus' house, the crowd grumbled and complained. The crowd tried to discourage Jesus from going to Zacchaeus' house because Zacchaeus was a sinner. So as I think about what's going on with the crowd, I'm suggesting three possible reasons for the crowd's behavior. There might be more than three reasons, but I think these three reasons act as kind of major structures within their explaining their behavior. Firstly, I think the crowd is just too focused on their own needs to be aware or be concerned about Zacchaeus. Many in the crowd would not have known that Zacchaeus was there because they were too busy trying to get close to Jesus. And in trying to get close to Jesus, they didn't really care who they were keeping away from Jesus. This is not a case of, I need a miracle, but I'm sure you need a miracle more than I do, so why don't you go to the front? They were crowding into Jesus because they wanted to get their own access to Jesus. But I think some of them were also aware of Zacchaeus there, and they were hostile to the idea that sinners would come near to Jesus, that those who are on the outside should stay on the outside, and Jesus should be allowed to get on with his business of dealing with people like us who need God's blessings rather than being concerned with outsiders who are sinners. And I think there are some who are concerned that if Jesus hangs out with a sinner, his reputation is going to drop. Not everybody knew that Jesus was the Messiah. Not everybody knew that Jesus was a great prophet. And one of the things that held them back was this idea that Jesus hung out with sinners. So don't, Jesus, if you're going to have an impact on Jericho, don't start by going to Zacchaeus' house, because he will drag you down and you won't get access to the people who you really need. Now, this idea that the crowd would somehow try and keep people from Jesus is not a new thought in Luke's gospel. So if we can have the next, there we go, thanks. It's not a new thought in Luke's gospel. Right back at the beginning of the story in chapter 4, Jesus told the people of his home village, Nazareth, that he was going to give blessing to non-Israelites rather than to them. At least that's the way they heard him saying that. And so what did they decide to do? Remember the story? And this is chapter 4. Once they heard that the blessings that Jesus was bringing was for the non-Israelites, they took Jesus out to a cliff and they were going to throw him over the cliff. Rather Jesus be dead than give his blessings, the blessings of God, to someone else. The crowd can be pretty selfish when it comes to that. They would rather Jesus have been dead than give blessings to someone else. That's extreme. In chapter 5, you remember the story of the paralytic who is brought to Jesus and he comes through the roof. Why does he come through the roof? Because the crowd is too busy trying to hear Jesus for themselves, trying to get the blessings of Jesus. So they've got no place for a paralytic to come through. There's no room for that. If the paralytic wanted to get to see Jesus, should have come earlier. Should have got there earlier in time so they could have got a front seat. The chronically ill woman is she is hidden in the crowd as she tries to touch Jesus. Why is he hidden? Because as a woman with the medical condition of the issue of blood, it made her unclean. And she had to pretend to be someone else. She had to try and make herself hidden in order to get to Jesus, because she knew if they knew who she was and what her real situation was, they would exclude her. She had to hide herself. And when the Samaritans, rejected Jesus because Jesus was focused on being the Jewish Messiah, what did James and John say? Lord, Should we call down fire from heaven in order to burn them up? No second chances. James and John got lots of second chances, but the Samaritans, let's destroy them rather than have them dishonor Jesus. And what about Mary, the sister of Martha? You remember that story? Jesus is talking to the disciples, teaching them. Mary is listening. And Martha, her sister, comes out to Jesus and says, Jesus, will you rebuke Mary and make her come into the kitchen to help me? Two sisters, and one is looking for Jesus to publicly rebuke the other because he's getting too much time with Jesus. I mean, sometimes even our own families are getting in the way, or trying to get in the way of our contact with Jesus. The parables in Luke 15 begin with the Pharisees and the other scribes grumbling about Jesus eating with sinners, because they want to keep Jesus away from sinners and to keep sinners away from Jesus. In chapter 18, we've got the children who are brought to Jesus. I mean, isn't that love? I mean, who doesn't love when the kids are up the front and taking part? And yet the disciples, when the mothers brought the children to Jesus, they scolded them. They told the parents off, because why would you bring your child who is unimportant to take up time with Jesus who is important? What a waste of his time. Who do you think you are? Keep away, keep them away from Jesus. The disciples, those who are meant to be close to Jesus and know him best, are acting to exclude children because they're not important enough. I mean, this is God's people at work. And then, of course, just moments before the story of Zacchaeus, Jesus is coming into Jerusalem, and the crowd is there with him, making quite a noise. And there is a blind man. And the blind man doesn't know what's going on, but when he finds out Jesus is coming by, he calls out to Jesus. And what do the people at the front say? Be quiet. They yelled at him. Be quiet. The people in front yelled at him. A man asking for the mercy of Jesus, and those who were closest to Jesus yelling at him so that Jesus would be able to walk by and not engage with him. Constantly in Luke's gospel, people are trying to keep other people away from Jesus. Thanks. And the reason they do that is because they're unimportant, they're unclean, they're insignificant, or too demanding, or in a term to catch all the characters, they're sinners. Sinners doesn't mean just someone who is doing something actually wrong, breaking a moral code. Sinners means someone who is outside of our group. Someone who, if God loves us, then we're righteous. And if you're outside the group, you're a sinner, and therefore outside of God's love. And so we have two groups existing there. We have the sinners, and we have us. We have us who are God's people. And I put a kind of solid black line around us, because we're pretty sure that we're in this group and everybody else is outside of it. And we've got reasons for them being outside of it, but it gets down to it that we think that they're outside of God's love, and we just have to gather ourselves together and protect ourselves as God's people so that God would bless us. Where do you think Jesus locates himself? Between sinners and those of us who think that we are God's chosen people. Those of us who think that God loves us to the exclusion of others. I think Luke's gospel continually tells us that Jesus is to be found among them, those who are not us, those that we label sinners, because it is there that Jesus brings the blessings and the freedom and forgiveness of God. Thanks. So this, I think, is a picture that is in my study at home. I've had this picture for 10, 12, 14 years, I think. And I actually thought it was so good, I actually paid for it. Rather than just copying it off the internet, I actually sent my money to the artist so that he would send me a copy of this. I think this is great because we've got all these people with pencils. Can you see that? They've all got pencils. And they're all using their pencils to draw lines. Lines of exclusion. But in their midst is Jesus. And he's got a pencil, but he's flipped his pencil and he's using the eraser to break down or to remove all the barriers that have been put in place by us. I think that tells me a lot about the gospel. It tells me a lot about who Jesus is and what Jesus was doing. Thanks. Jesus, Zacchaeus, as Luke mentioned to us this morning, changed after he met Jesus. Zacchaeus stood there and said to the Lord, "Look, half of my possessions, Lord, I will give to the poor, and if I have defrauded anyone of anything, I will pay back four times as much." Now the Pharisees and the crowd outside are happy for that kind of repentance to take place. Who doesn't like to see someone give you money and pay back anything that they have defrauded you? Everybody likes repentance. But what the problem with the crowd is with Jesus is that Jesus calls people to him first. Jesus meets with them and is hospitable to them. He eats at the table with them first, before demanding, before seeing the change that comes from that. We change because we are in relationship with Jesus. We don't, first of all, change in order to become acceptable to Jesus. Now, we know that to be true in our own lives. We were not great people, perfect people, before we met Jesus. We become better people as we meet Jesus and allow him to work through us. But as soon as we become part of the us, we think that everybody else has to change before they are acceptable to God. We start this process of exclusion. We can become part of the crowd that says, "No, you cannot come to Jesus. You're not suitable or appropriate for that." But Jesus says, thanks. In his summary statement at the end of this passage, "For the Son of Man came to seek and to save the lost. The very purpose of Jesus is to reach out to those who are lost, who the crowd calls sinners. Think of sinners as people who are not here this morning because they don't fit in. I'm a old white man, and I fit in here reasonably well on a couple of levels. White, old, male. There are plenty of connections here with people in the crowd. Some perhaps not quite as old as I am. Some perhaps not quite as white as I am. But as we look around, there is a commonness in what we see in this church. But not just in this church. Probably every church you would go to in Adelaide, there's a sameness to it, to the gathering. And if we went outside of Adelaide, although I don't know why we would, but if we went to go to the wild cities of Melbourne and Sydney, we would find the church is still reflecting a kind of commonness to this. Why is it that so many people don't fit into church? And is any of that because we of us who are already here think that they need to change before they are to come in to into fellowship, into family, into being part of the people of God? Jesus is looking for everyone. Jesus came not to judge people, but to bring the lost home. Jesus came to give those who are excluded a seat at the table. And yet, for many of us, we have this instinct that says, well, certain people don't belong. But if they changed, yeah, if we're hospitable, we'll take anyone, all welcome. Of course, they're going to have to change first, and then they'll fit in, then they can belong. But there's no, that's not how Jesus does it. Thanks. So we're faced with this question. Are we helping the Zacchaeuses in our lives to encounter Jesus, or are we getting in the way of that? Are we saying to people, you're a sinner, you don't belong, you're this, you don't belong, you're that, you don't belong? Are we putting barriers around who we are and trying to keep Jesus on the inside of our barriers? Or are we following Jesus out from behind the walls into the very communities and the people that are different from us? Jesus teaches us that hospitality comes before judgment, that belonging comes before change. We have to ask ourselves, are people who are not here this morning sinners who have to be kept from God, or are they the lost who we have to go and welcome into the family? Are we going to label people in a way that excludes them? Or are we going to open up our hearts and our family to include all people? Are we keeping Zacchaeus from Jesus? Can you imagine the story of the this is Luke chapter 15, the story of the lost sheep, the 99, Jesus leaves the 99 and goes and finds the one to bring them back. Are you to imagine that as Jesus left to get the one, the 99 formed a barrier around Jesus and said, ba ba, which in sheep language means don't you dare leave the 99 to go looking for that one. I want you to imagine the 9 coins saying to the woman, you cannot go and find the 10. You've got to keep looking after us. Are we to imagine that when the prodigal son comes home and the father runs to meet him, we jump in front of the father and say, hey, not so fast. He's not changed enough yet. He's not as suitable yet for you to put your arms around him. Are we on mission with Jesus who came to seek and to save the lost? Or are we with the crowds who try to keep the sinners from Jesus and try to keep Jesus from the sinners? There is a story told here at Christie's Beach Baptist Church that, and I don't remember who and when, but someone had the vision of Jesus going out these doors, so it's, it was these doors, so Jesus, I imagine, had to push the green button to get out. Jesus going out, and the question was, were we going to go with Jesus, or were we going to stay huddled up? That is still true for us now. Are we going to with Jesus? Is the point of having a cafe, is the point of having our connectedness with others, so that we can get them to change before they're suitable for Jesus? Or is it so that we can be hospitable, welcoming, and accepting so that they might meet Jesus? And after they meet Jesus, they become the people of God. This is our challenge. Us or others? And if we learn the heart of God, we know that it is always us and others that God is bringing into his family. So as we conclude the service, let's stand to receive a blessing that also calls us to be part of God's mission in the world. May the Lord bless you and protect you. May the Lord smile on you and be gracious to you. May the Lord show you his favor and give you his shalom, his peace. The grace of the Lord Jesus Christ, the love of God, and the communion of the Holy Spirit be with you now and forevermore. Amen. Go in God's shalom to love and serve the Lord through Jesus Christ, our Lord. Amen.